Hello, my name is Benjamin Myers, and this is my first ever video for The Anxious Evangelist. This is something I've been wanting to do for a while because I've noticed that there's no real outlet on YouTube for people that are suffering from anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts, kind of that whole spectrum from a Christian perspective. And I thought I could shed light on that because those are things that I've gone through. And I thought, what better way to start than with my story? So let me just dive right in. I am a pastor's kid. I'm 26, but my dad is still a pastor, so I'm still a pastor's kid. I grew up in the church and went to church every Sunday and every Wednesday and did all the pastor's kid stuff. And, you know, I was strong enough in my faith to keep going and to keep listening and to keep understanding more and more about the gospel and about Jesus. And I would still look for more answers and more answers. And I would just do kind of the normal Christian routine. I went to public school, and then after that I went to college and got my bachelor's degree in behavioral science. Started a job at a company called Youth in Need. I was a Head Start teacher, which I really loved my job because I was able to have an impact on my community and all the families in my community and the kids in my community. And just I loved everyone I worked with, and I loved all the families I saw, and it was just overall a great experience for me. But one thing that had always been with me was anxiety, and it had always been with me ever since I was younger. But as I got older, it just kept festering and festering and getting worse and worse. It got to a point in my job where it started to interfere with me being able to do certain things in my job. So I went to my doctor and I said, "Doctor, you know, I'm struggling with anxiety. You know, what can you prescribe?" And I had never been on any prescriptions before. And so he gave me a prescription for an anxiety medication. So I took that medication, and then about 3 hours later, my head felt like it was on fire. it just felt, just my head was really, really hot. And it was a Wednesday, and I remember telling my mom, because I was at her house, that I was going to go back to my apartment rather than go up to church and help with the Awana ministry, because there was something wrong with my head. So I went back to my apartment and I wrapped ice wraps all around my head, just all the way around. It looked like I was wearing a turban with how many ice wraps I had around my head, and my head was still on fire. And I was like, okay, I gotta sleep this off. So I went to bed. That didn't last more than 15 minutes before I got up, went to the bathroom, and I was extremely ill in the bathroom. And then I could feel myself about to pass out, and that's something I had never done. I had never passed out before, but I could feel it coming. So I banged on the wall of the bathroom, and on the other side is my roommate's room, and I said, "John, call 911. And then that's all I remember from that. And then the next thing I know, I'm woken up by paramedics pounding on my chest. And so I did pass out, and I don't know how long it took for them to get there or whatever, but my whole body was just not good. So, you know, they're working on me, and I can hear, you know, there's police officers coming in too, and they're checking my room for drugs. And I remember my roommate going, he doesn't even drink, you know, there's no drugs in there. But they searched it anyways, and of course they didn't find anything. And finally I was able to get out of my mouth the words "laptop bag." So they went to my laptop bag and pulled out the prescription and saw that there was one pill out. And they're like, okay, it's from this pill. So they rushed me to the hospital, they got me stabilized. And I remember my parents coming to the hospital, and I remember I felt so bad because, you know, it was getting kind of late, and, you know, you never want to inconvenience your parents. I was like, I'm sorry, I don't know what happened. I don't know what, you know, what caused this. You know, it just happened. So then I started to feel better, so I went home with my parents, and it kind of started to creep up again while I was at home, but I was able to sleep it off. Just, I was able to just force myself to go to sleep. And the next day I woke up, I drove to my apartment to get a change of clothes for work, and I walked in, my roommate was there. He didn't have to work that day, he works outdoors, and it was raining or something. So he didn't have to work that day, and I walked in, and I looked at him, I'm like, man, what the heck was that about last night? And he's like, I don't know, that was weird, you know, so I was like, geez, you know. So I went up, you know, put on a polo, a pair of slacks, and I went out to work, and right whenever I got to work, it hit me again. Just this, just really bad anxiety attack of just really bad. So I texted my boss, hey, can you please come out back? So my boss came and talked me out back, and I just looked at her and said, can you please take me to my parents' house? So she took me there. We got there, and my mom had explained to her what had happened the night before, and then I was laying on the couch, and for the next 48 hours, I was basically just, it was one of the worst 2 days of my life. I felt like I was breathing through a coffee straw. I just couldn't breathe right. I just kept trying to breathe, but it wouldn't take. And I kept saying, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. And they were, you know, my parents were like, you can breathe, you can breathe. Look, you're still, you know, talking, you're able to breathe. But I wasn't able to get that good airflow. So that went on for 2 days, or about 48 hours, and I didn't sleep at all during that time. And finally, you know, I kept saying, I can't breathe. And they were like, yes, you can. And I remember I grabbed my dad's by the shirt, and I pulled him closer. And I said, Dad, I can't breathe. And then he looked at my mom and said, we need to go to the hospital. Because it was something, you know, I guess they finally believed me or something. But yeah, so I went to the hospital, and they were like, oh, his levels are way off. You know, we don't know what this is. So they tried to stabilize me, and, you know, it took a long time. And finally the hospital psychiatrist came in, and he's like, oh, this is serotonin syndrome. He's like, what were you prescribed? And I told him what I was prescribed and the dosage. And he said, okay, you were prescribed more than four times what you should have been prescribed. So that's why this happened to you. And I was like, okay. And in my head, I'm just thinking, like, when am I going to be normal again? You know? And he just kind of, you know, looked at me and was like, it's going to be a while till you feel right. And this isn't something I wanted to hear, because I had a great job and, you know, everything was going right. I mean, my job, I was looking at as a career. Straight out of college, looking at it as a career. I mean, that's perfect. So I then had to, you know, I stayed in the hospital for about a week, then left the hospital, and then I started getting these headaches, just out of nowhere, these really bad headaches. And like, I'm talking like migraines times 10, just really, really bad. So, you know, I had to go to the ER a couple times, and they didn't really know what it was. And they ran a bunch of tests, and finally they said, you have something called pseudotumor cerebri, which is the equivalent of having a brain tumor without actually having a brain tumor. So there was nothing to extract, but I had all the symptoms. And some of the best neurologists in the country said that I'd have a headache on a pain scale of 8 to 10 for the rest of my life. So we tried to get into Mayo, and they said, no, that doctor was right. You know, listen to that doctor. And I'm like, headache on a pain scale of 8 to 10 for the rest of my life, all the time. That sucks. So, you know, I didn't really know what to do with that information. It was just, you know, what do you do with something like that? It's terrifying, because it's like, I'll never be better, and they wouldn't give me anything for pain. They said, basically, you're just going to have to live with it. And I was like, I don't know if I can. You know, I don't know if I can live with this. This is too much. So, you know, I'm in the hospital, and I was in the hospital, in and out of the hospital so many times, going to the ER, and then just, well, you know, going to the ER, then going home, and then a week later going to the ER, then going home. You know, I just kept having to go to the ER because my headache was getting so bad that I couldn't function at all, so they had to give me IV stuff to basically knock out the headache for a short period of time, just to give me some relief for a little bit. And so that's how life looked for about 2 or 3 months, just a lot of ER visits. And finally, I was at a hospital for, you know, about 2 months, 2-3 months, something like that. And they, they just tried everything on me. I was just a human pincushion. They just, any medicine they could think of, they were trying on me. And finally, they gave me something for epilepsy, which I'm not epileptic, but they were like, there's a small chance this could work. And I'm like, okay, you know, whatever, any chance at this point, I'll take it. So they give it to me, and it's not like just straight through the IV. Like, it's like every time you gotta take it, they, like, you know, stick you in the arm. So, which, whatever, I got so used to needles during that time. So they gave me that, and then about 15 to 20 minutes later, I felt extremely suicidal. And I buzzed for the nurse, and the nurse came, and I said, "Nurse, whatever medicine I just had, it's making me feel really suicidal. Like, it's making me want to jump out of that window," and I was about 11 floors up. You know, and me, knowing myself, I didn't want to die, and I know the signs of, you know, suicide, you know, and, you know, I know what to look for. And I was like, okay, right now I'm not thinking clearly, and I need help, I need something to, you know. So I'm thinking they're going to IV fluid, rush it out of my system. Instead, they put me in a psych ward for a week, because I said I was suicidal. And it was because of that medication. So, here I am in this psych ward, and, you know, I'm surrounded by these people, and it's so sad in there. Everyone in there is so broken. And they kept giving me that medication. They kept for about 2 days, and finally they came in, and they were going to give it to me. And I said, "You're not giving that to me. That's the reason why I feel so suicidal." I mean, I was taking bed sheets and trying to strangle myself. That medicine was making me want to commit suicide, but your body won't let you really strangle yourself. It'll just stop you. And those places are like super suicide proof. So they make sure that you can't really harm yourself. Lesson learned: get a bigger memory chip. So, like I was saying, I was in the psych ward, and the nurse came in to give me the medication that had continued to make me feel suicidal, and I told her, "I'm not taking that medication." And she goes, "No, you have to." And I said, "No, I know the law, I'm allowed to turn down medication." And she said, "No, not on this ward. You're not allowed to. We have to give it to you." And at this point, I still am 6'3", but I weighed about 260 pounds. And I just looked at her and I just said, "Ma'am, you don't have enough staff to give me that medication." And so she backed down. She didn't give it to me. And it was really an empty threat, because I not really a violent person, but it got her to not give it to me. And about 2 days later, the suicidal thoughts left me. Eventually, I had a great doctor that was like, "Oh, there's nothing wrong with you." You know, and he let me go home. So I still had a really bad headache, but I was out of the psych unit. And that whole time in there, I didn't eat or drink anything. You know, I just couldn't. It was so, I'd been in the hospital for about 2 or 3 months at that point, so the food, I just couldn't eat it anymore. So, you know, I couldn't eat the food anymore, so I probably drank a bottle of water in that entire week. And I didn't eat any food. And, so yeah, it was just a really bad week. It was the worst week of my life, being in the psych unit. And I don't wish that upon anyone. So then, I go home and, you know, I still have the bad headaches and there's nothing, you know, the doctors can do. They're just like, you're just gonna have to live with it. And so, you know, we talked to, a doctor named Dr. Corey Webb, who's a chiropractor. And we told him what the doctor said, and he just kind of shook his head and said, "No, we're going to fix this." And I'm like, okay, you know. So we go to his office, and he takes x-rays, and he sees something between my C1 and C2, or something like that, on my spine. And he says, "That's the problem. That's why you're having these headaches." So, you know, we're gonna work on that. So it took about 3 months of him working on that to the point where I don't have headaches on a regular basis anymore. I did have them every day for about 6 months. You know, bad headache, and you know, like right now I don't have a headache. But the doctors, the best doctors in the world, said I would have a really bad headache for the rest of my life. The best neurologist in the world said that. So I kind of learned that if you want to feel good, go see a doctor. If you want to feel healthy, go see a chiropractor, because they're the experts on making you feel healthy and making you feel better. Whereas a doctor will just give you something to make you feel good in the moment, but you're not going to get healthy as a result of the doctor. So, you know, any chance I get, I plug chiropractors, because, you know, go see a chiropractor, they can change your life. You know, and then something else that was really hitting me at this time was panic attacks. I couldn't, you know, it's not something I had ever had before, was a panic attack. I'd had anxiety attacks, but my panic attacks were, I would just convulse, my whole body would shake, I couldn't talk. My mom had to keep hitting my stomach to remind me to breathe, you know, and it could last for 10 minutes, it could last for 10 hours, you never knew how long it was going to go. And I remember one of the times I was having a panic attack. This is, I believe, New Year's Day, this panic attack had gone on for about 5 or 6 hours. And I'm laying down on the floor in my room, and my mom's helping me, and my dad's standing over me, and I'm starting to come out of it. And he asks me, "Ben, why do you want to get healthy?" And I said, "To show Jesus." So he wrote that on a piece of paper, "Why get healthy? To show Jesus." He wrote my name, and he wrote the date, and he put that picture, or that piece of paper, right next to my bed. So that every day, whenever I go to bed, that's the last thing I see. And whenever I wake up in the morning, it's the first thing I see. Because that's really why I wanted to get healthy, is so that I could show Jesus. And, you know, I was, throughout this whole process, I kept telling myself, man, if I could just help one person through this, then it was worth it, you know, because for a while I thought God, you know, had forsaken me, and that, you know, why was he doing this to me? And, you know, I'm like, this is ridiculous, you know, what have I done to do this? And then I remembered, I told my dad, I go, "Dad, I asked for this to happen to me." And my dad's like, "What do you mean?" And I said, "Well, whenever I would sin, You know, whenever I would do something I shouldn't do, or say something I shouldn't say, or watch something I shouldn't watch, I would read Psalm 51. And I encourage you to read Psalm 51. And I would pray that. And it's a very harsh chapter in the Bible where David is basically telling God to punish him. And so I'm like, you know, I came to that realization about 6 to 7 months after the accident. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I asked for God to do this to me. You know, and looking back on it, it's been the best/worst 2 years of my life. Because I've grown so much of my faith that I can't put a price on that. So, while I had so many setbacks in normal life, I'll take the pop-ups in faith, you know, and the boost in that over the boost in life any day of the week. So, you know, I came to that realization, and then I started to see a counselor, and whenever I started to see the counselor, you know, I'm a bit skeptical, you know, but, you know, it's like, I gotta do something, you know, these panic attacks and just anxiety in general is rough, so I started seeing a counselor 2 times a week, and I remember one day she asked me, she goes, you know, in 5 years, this is gonna be very different. And I was like, yeah, you know, I know, like, I truly believe that, you know, my anxiety, I think in 5 years will just be a blip on the radar. And she says, so where do you see yourself in 5 years? And I said, 5 years? Like, and I just kind of scoffed at her, and I'm like, I want to show Christ now. I don't want to wait 5 years. Like, I want to show Christ now. Because, you know, evangelism isn't for the fearless. You know, it takes a lot of bravery to go out and share your faith and talk to someone about your faith and, you know, lead someone to Christ. And it's, you know, it's can be very anxiety provoking, but it's the most important thing that I can do on this earth is to show someone who Jesus is. So, you know, that's what I told her, and that's where I came up with the name for my I now own a clothing line called Show Christ Now. And that's where I got it from, was because she said, where do you want to be in 5 years? And I was like, I want to show Christ now. I don't want to wait 5 years. I want to show Christ now. And then throughout the whole process, you know, there'd be times where I'd be like, you know, God, why are you doing this? There'd be times I'd be like, oh, thank you, God, for doing this. And then I finally, whenever it was kind of in the middle of it all, I realized I had to thank God for the trials. I had to thank God for the trials, because if you look at the book of Job, you're like, I got it easy. Like, no matter what your problem is on this earth, if you read the book of Job, peanuts compared to what Job went through. And so it's like, if Job can get through it, I can get through it. You know, and so, you know, I read the book of Job a lot, and that's my favorite book of the Bible now. And I've read it probably 10 times now. I love it. But so yeah, I want this channel to be something that, I know this video is really long, but I want this channel to be something that I can make short videos about, just different kind of anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts, you know, just tons of different things in that spectrum, from a Christian perspective, so that people like me have a resource, you know, for something, and that you know that you are not alone. And that you'll see that hopefully in the comments that, you know, that you're really not alone, and that a lot of people are going through these things. You know, Jesus loves you as you are, not as you should be, because none of us are as we should be. So I really just want to show people that, you know, there is a better way, and Christ is that better way, and He will show you through any trial.
Thank you.